Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. www.mecu.com. Remember, it is a credit union, not just a bank. It belongs to you. MeQ.com, or go to steinershow.org and click on their banner. You know, we have this longstanding partnership with Urbanite Magazine. This is another one of our Urbanite radio conversations. This article written by Martha Thomas was called The Young and the Restless, Baltimore's new guard of all-star chefs. And we have three of them in the studio with us. Jesse Sandlin's with us, who is a sous chef at Pazzo's.
Hi.
And she was former Top Chef contestant, were you not?
I was indeed.
You were? Show which my daughter watches religiously. One of them anyway. Damian Mosley's with us, who's chef owner of Black Sauce Kitchen.
How you doing?
Good to have you, man. Welcome. And Joe Edwardson, chef owner of Joe Squared.
Hi.
Where they make a mean pizza. 410-319-8888 is the number here. So, first let me ask this, and folks, you can join us if you've eaten any of these folks' food. Even if you haven't, you can join us at 410-319-8888. Maybe you have, as this conversation unfolds, thoughts about being a chef. Maybe you are a chef. Maybe it's what you think about cooking and why you cook it. What you may be cooking on Super Bowl Sunday. Any of that. 410-319-8888. And we talk a bit about that as we go through this conversation. But what do you think it is about this new wave hitting America of young chefs, restaurants opening? And I've never, when you growing up in the era I grew up in, you had the sub shop. And then maybe there's a Chinese restaurant, maybe there's an Italian restaurant. There was a soul food restaurant in town that was really good on the West Side. There were a couple of fancy restaurants. But all of a sudden, there's been this explosion of food. What do you think that comes from?
I think that obviously shows like Top Chef and the Food Network in general have had a huge impact on the way that the world sort of views chefs and food in general. And I think that people at home watching these shows are getting into, trying new things and using new ingredients and trying to make things themselves. And so it's sort of like a renaissance in a lot of ways.
Do you think that those Top Chef and those shows like that, do you think that they came as a, that they may be causing the wave, but somehow they became these reality shows because something's pushing it. There's something going on out here. What do you think it is? Go ahead.
Oh, I have no idea. I mean, I definitely think it contributes to a lot of people going into the culinary field. Now, I don't entirely know what it was like, in my parents' generation or whatnot. I always just assumed we went out to a lot of nice restaurants and just brought us crap home. But
no, man, because growing up, you had your string beans were in a can, right?
Yeah, nothing I really wish my mom had known how to cook string beans properly, because I would have probably eaten a lot more vegetables as a kid.
they were terrible. What do you think, Damian?
I definitely think that the two are connected. That is the revolution, if you want to call it that. The increase of the proliferation of fantastic restaurants, food shopping options, and food television at some point in the 90s. And then I think you could also add to that the sort of the increase of culinary education, because I think 30 years ago, there weren't a ton of places that you could go to be formally educated. In an institution, maybe it was more of an apprenticeship, or you just sort of jump into the industry. But now that there's culinary schools everywhere, I feel like there's greater access for all kinds of people.
Well, let's talk about your own journey. What Damian Mosley, who is owner of Black Sauce Kitchen, the food is really good. You do mostly catering, right? For the most part.
We do, yeah.
Yeah. You don't have a spot people can come to.
Right.
Right. But you're at the Waverly Market on Saturdays and things like that.
Definitely.
So what was your story, gentlemen? What drove you to this world of being a chef?
First of all, I'd say I rarely call myself a chef.
What do you call yourself?
I just call myself a food guy.
Right.
To be honest, the best job I ever had was in a restaurant while I was in college. It's a funny little place. The kitchen was upstairs. The dining room was downstairs. And they sent the food down in a dumbwaiter. So I was my first job.
Where was that?
It was in North Carolina. The place was called Spanky's.
Uh-huh.
Funny little spot, actually. But the thing I loved about it, it was a family. If somebody didn't show up to work, it impacted everybody. When we got off from work, everybody hung out together, whether we were doing good or whether we were, you know, doing bad stuff. We still hung out as a family. And so at a certain point in time, I craved that. You know, I didn't find that in any other job in any other industry. So that's how I got back into it. And then once I got back into it, food comes pretty naturally for me.
Yeah. Did you go to culinary school?
I did.
And so, Joe, what about you?
I didn't go to culinary school. I started with I've always worked in restaurants through high school and through college. I worked in restaurants. I did an apprenticeship after college. I've been just working in restaurants ever since.
But now you have your own.
Oh, yeah, I have two now.
Two? There's two Joe Squares?
There's a Joe Squared up on North Avenue, and then we opened up one down in Power Plant Live near Ram's Head in the harbor, which is primarily lunch and happy hour, and the night primarily up north. We've been getting some busier nights downtown, but so far we've been catering mostly.
So why did you do it? Why did you get into this business of, become a very popular pizza joint.
Why did I open a pizza joint?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I wanted to have my own restaurant, and at the time, pizza in this town was really, really awful. So it was an open market. I didn't want to open something that was going to fail right off the bat, you know. I was trained primarily in French, but we had enough bistros. You know, I hadn't actually made pizzas since, you know, pizza job I had in high school, and those were really bad pizzas.
So I'd
made them at home, but.
One of the best, your place is great, but the old good places in Baltimore for pizza is Matthews.
Mm.
In Patterson Park.
I've never been to Matthews.
I've been within the last week.
Aren't they good?
Yeah.
I love their pizzas.
They serve a great product. Yeah. I love Matthews.
Matthews is good.
Apples to oranges, though.
Very different places. And so, Jesse, Sandlin, what about you? Why did you become a chef?
I mean, similar to Damien, really, is I started out in high school at a place in Glen Burnie called Ann's Dairy Cream that's sort of, a hot dog institution, if you will. It's been around for like 60 years, and it's, you know, the cook, it's like two cooks and two order takers and then one person who does fries and milkshakes, and everything was done by memorization. No tickets, and sometimes, you know, summertime you'd have a line out the door and, you know, simple stuff, footlong cheesesteak subs and deep-fried hot dogs and milkshakes.
Deep-fried hot dogs.
Oh,
that
my God.
Sounds dangerous.
So good. but then I moved to California in 98 with my mom and started working in a more fine dining setting in a restaurant group called the Perigary's Restaurant Group and worked at this one restaurant of theirs in particular called the Esquire Grill where we had a very tight crew and it was, you know, at the end of the night, if one station was really busy, the rest of the guys would start cleaning up. You know, we'd all finish together. We'd walk out the door together. We'd sit down and we'd have a beer together and we'd hang out together that night. Like it was, we were just all really close. And a lot of us are still very close, actually. And I tried other things. I did some, you know, administrative assistant stuff and office work and did some teaching. And it just never was the same. And there's always sort of a lacking. You know, I like the chaos of a restaurant, and I like the
chaos it is.
The pace of it, and just being around food is something that I cooked as a you know little kid for my parents, and so it just kind of is what I fell into, you know, really. So,
aspiring chefs, join us here at 410-319-8888, or just an aspiring eater. You can join us as well 410-319-8888. So, I think let's introduce our listeners to who you are, though. What style you cook in and what you do, because I'm not assuming that everybody knows everybody has in their places. And Damien Mosley, talk about Black Sauce Kitchen a minute.
Black Sauce is it's a small new company. We in a sense we don't have a storefront. We don't have a physical location other than the commercial kitchen that we use to produce our food. But in a different sense, our storefront really is the farmer's market, or I should say the circuit of farmer's markets and festivals that we do.
You travel them, right? Good. Yeah.
We do. I mean, I just came back from New York 48 hours ago. We were doing a beer, bourbon, and barbecue festival up there. So that is our storefront. Our food style, we do a ton of food. Without question, we are most known for biscuits. And outside of that, I would say at the center of what we do, everything is kind of rooted in the African diaspora and the Caribbean, the American South. That's my food language, my idiom, whatever, my aesthetic.
Right.
And then, you know, if we're catering a wedding then or a party or whatever it is, and we're going to make food that we're comfortable making but that people like, and that could be anything.
Your biscuits are good.
I appreciate it.
Your biscuits are definitely good. And so, Joe, talk about Joe Squared. Let's not assume everybody's been to Joe Squared.
Oh, yeah. No, we opened up Joe Squared back in 2005. We try to use primarily local organic ingredients. We grow a lot of our own herbs. Our pizza style is really kind of a hodgepodge. It's not New York or Chicago or anything like that. I mean, we use a sourdough from Ichea off the coast of Naples that we keep alive in buckets. And we do a rolled dough, more of a Florence style. Then we use a crushed down Marzano, which is what you would do in Naples. Our basic cheese blend is 50-50 mozzarella prove mix, which is Ohio style. Then we use a New York style pepperoni. So I mean, it's and then they're square, cooked in a coal oven, you know, like New Haven style. So I mean, it's a good product. It's a good pizza, but it's
of all kinds.
A variety of pizza, like 115 different pizza toppings on there.
115 different kinds of pizza toppings?
Well, it sounds a little much, but it's every single item that comes into our kitchen. You know, I throw on the ingredients list for the pizza toppings. Yeah, just a better way to rotate through everything. And we're an entirely scratch kitchen, so we have a lot of random ingredients that come in. And people will build some weird, weird, disgusting, awful pizza sometimes. But more often than not, people build some delicious stuff. You know, and sometimes people build something great that we wouldn't have considered. I'll make it onto a specials menu or something.
And I also heard you have some mean rum drinks is what someone told me.
Oh, yeah. We're Baltimore's premier rum bar. Not boasting or anything. There's no other real rum bars. The only other place that calls themselves a rum bar I know of has 11 rums and half of them are Bacardi's. Right. We have some 50-some rums downtown and 60-something up on North, just because we've had a little longer to build the collection.
Time for a mojito. So,
oh, yeah, in the summertime, we grow all the men and make
really?
Them. Oh, yeah.
All right. Jesse?
Well, I've done, you know, a lot in the past few years, but I'm at Pazzo as a sous chef right now. And we're doing mostly, you know, I think the great thing about Pazzo is you can dine in a couple of different ways. You know, we have a pretty extensive tapas menu, and then we also offer, you know, a more traditional style dining with like appetizer, entree, dessert. And so it's I think for the guest, you know, it's really nice to be able to come in and you can have a bunch of tapas and share everything, or you can, you know, just have your salad and your steak and get out.
So, well, I have to ask you this question, and folks, 410-319-8888, maybe you saw her on TV, Jesse Sandlin. What was it like being on Top Chef?
Oh, it was great. You know, it was certainly an interesting experience. But overall, I think it was a lot of fun. I met some really amazing people and, you know, had some fun times and certainly learned a lot more about what you can do with a culinary career. You know, for a very long time I thought that being a chef was standing behind a stove and yelling at people or getting yelled at all night, you know. And now there's, you know, I kind of see that there's a lot broader aspect to it than just that.
No, since you said this, I have to ask this question. What is it about the yelling thing?
It's loud, man.
I mean, that there seems to be this.
Well, more often than not, it's just for show. Every once in a while.
Except for show.
Well, no, sometimes somebody needs to be yelled at. That's sometimes somebody shows up with a bunch of their own problems and can't get the food out, and you have to give them a new problem so they forget and get the job done. But, you know, I mean, not like I yell a lot, but some people yell a lot.
Damien?
It's urgency, you know?
Uh-huh.
If people are coming in ordering food, there's not a lot of room for excuses for it being less than perfect or slower than on time. And so it's urgency. I don't care if you're working on a line, if you're catering a party, if you are serving people at a festival. There's just urgency involved with working with food.
So the tension can rise.
Yes. Well, and I don't mean getting yelled at like Gordon Ramsay, you know. I feel like he's a bit excessive. I think that it just must take so much energy to be that angry all the time, you know.
Right.
He must go home and just collapse. But I agree with Damien. Like, there is, you know, you have to impose a sense of urgency, and things have to happen very quickly. And so, you know, you're calling out tickets at a pace that you want to, you know, the staff to keep, and you know, so I think that's what the yelling is all about.
So if you, I'm thinking about the what you cook. I'm going to give our listeners a sense of it. Can you describe, let's pick something, I don't know, pick something that you've done recently that you would just describe what your food is like. Like what you cook. A pizza, something comes out of you, it's in between the biscuits. So whatever, you know, just, you know what I'm saying?
Biscuits.
In between the biscuits.
What's in between your biscuits, Damien?
It could be anything, but I would say something typical would be short ribs, mm-hmm. right? And short ribs, they've got to be, first of all, I appreciate them to be a quality ingredient to begin with. So I try to get them. I have a particular guy that I get all my short ribs from in Reisterstown. And he's got, you know, he's got really good cows. And then the second thing is.
Well, I think I know the guy you got short. He has his own farm.
He does.
Yeah, big guy.
He's bigger than me.
Sean, yeah, I know.
Be careful shaking his hand.
He's a big man, yeah. He has great meat.
He does.
Yeah, good farmer, good guy. Yeah.
And then I guess the other thing about short ribs is they're not, you can't just pull them out of a package, right? Or just pull them out of the fridge and make them in 10 minutes. They require some transformation and they require some patience to do it. So I would say our food is, it's about calculation. It's about patience. It's about slow cooking. It's about having a few dimensions of flavor. And it's not all spicy. It's not all sweet. And then it's definitely, as Joe said, it's definitely about doing it from the ground up, you know, from scratch.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you also, as Joe was describing, using local ingredients.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that we can.
Right.
Not every single ingredient is practical for us to use locally. But then on top of the fact that I like to use local ingredients, a lot of our food is sold at farmers markets where the expectation is for local ingredients.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm not going to get some kale from California
right.
when there's somebody growing it in Clifton Park. Right?
Right. Exactly. So describe, Joe.
What, a typical one of our dishes?
Yeah.
Or last?
Pick a pizza, any pizza.
Anyway, one of my favorites at the moment, I suppose, is the bacon and clam.
I love that pizza.
It's a fantastic
I do.
Pizza.
It's not what you call a kosher pizza, but anyway, go ahead.
No, no, it's not.
I think it's the anti-kosher pizza.
Why? I talked to some Cedics about that the other day. Oh, not that specific pizza.
They're not going to eat a bacon and clam pizza.
Technically, our oven's hot enough so that it's constantly in a koshering process. So that right after the bacon and clam pizza, you could make a kosher one, I guess, if you had to.
Yeah.
But the bacon and clam pizza is it's our sourdough crust with a roasted garlic sauce put over top of it, some shucked clams, sliced bacon, fresh mozzarella, Asiago, oregano, olive oil, and Vidalia onions. But you know, put it all together. It takes probably about 3 or 4 minutes to assemble. Cooks in about a minute, and it goes out. I mean, we're opposite kind of thing. All ours is you know, setting the line and getting everything right so that the end product could be made in a matter of minutes.
I'm getting hungry just sitting here. I have not eaten much today. Should not have done the show on an empty stomach.
Should have brought a pizza.
You should have brought a pizza.
Where's the pizza?
Oh, with all that traffic, it would have been terribly cold.
Madame?
Well, I, you know, the food at Pazo right now, I think, is really great. We're trying to do a lot more of a Spanish influence as opposed to, you know, before there was a lot of Mediterranean Italian dishes as well, which there are still on the menu, but the influence is shifting a bit more towards Spain. And one of the things that we're doing right now that I really love is we've gotten some really great little baby Brussels sprouts locally from a farm. I believe it's up in Virginia or Pennsylvania. I'm not exactly sure where they're coming from, to be honest, but I just know they come in cases through the back door, and they're a lot of dirt to wash off of them. But we're just blanching them really quickly in salted water just so that they're tender, and then they get sautéed over really high heat so they get nice and caramelized, and we throw some Quijote chorizo in with them and Marcona almonds that have been crushed, sea salt, and a little olive oil, and it's really, really simple and rustic and just really great flavors. And you know, it's one of those things where if my mom had cooked Brussels sprouts this way when I was eight.
I love Brussels sprouts. I do love them.
They're so good.
They are good. They are good. 410-319-8888. Join us here. I'm going to ask them when we come back from break to give us a Super Bowl party menu that they would do when we come back from this break in a few minutes. But and you can bring your Super Bowl party menus. And 410-319-8888 is the number here. Let's go to Andrea in Baltimore. You're on the air.
The pizza, oh my God, is so good. Oh. I went there.
Oh, I'm scared.
It is. Okay, I'm going to say what like my friends say. It's the bomb. Oh my God, it's good.
Oh,
it
thank
really
you.
Is. Yes. Oh. And the service is good.
I was really expecting to say it was awful. You got scared. That's great. Thank you.
And what was your favorite pizza at Joe Squared?
You said what?
What was your favorite pizza?
It was a veggie pizza that I think our friends had put together. And usually I'm like, oh, because they're vegetarians, I'm not. I like my meat and my potatoes. But it was really good. Like, we ordered a second one. So I'll have to ask them what all they had on there, because it had a lot of stuff. But all I know, it was good.
Okay. Well, that's enough right there, Andrea. Thank you so much. So it was just a good pizza.
No, yeah. I mean, they're all good pizza. Well, if they're not good, it's not our fault. They ordered something disgusting. somebody will come in and order, you know, fish, American cheese, brie, black olives, and say, you know, pine nuts. People order some. Actually, that doesn't sound terrible. But people have ordered some pretty – well, the American cheese part.
We are here this evening. We're talking with three of Baltimore's young chefs. It's one of our Urbanite radio conversations from the article in this month's Urbanite magazine, The Young and the Restless, Baltimore's new guard of all-star chefs. You just heard the voice of Joe Edwardson, chief chef owner of Joe Squared over on North Avenue in the North Arts North District, right on Howard Street. You have a new place now.
Down in Power Plant.
Power Plant.
Yeah, across from
I don't get to the Inner Harbor much.
Oh, I did until a few months ago.
I let the tourists can have it.
They want it.
They can have it. I'm not paying those prices.
They're all about
it. They can have it.
Well, there's a Joe Squared for everyone else up on North Island.
There you go. And Jessie Sandlin's with us. She is sous chef at Pazo's, and you probably saw her in Top Chef. She was cooking away up there. And Damian Mosley is with us, chef owner of Black Sauce Kitchen, who you can see all around town cooking. And we're going to take a break here in a second. And when we do, before we do, let me tell you this. I want to tell you about what's still going on here at WEAA. It's a Zimbabwe Shona Stone exhibition. And WEAA invites you to our Zimbabwe Shona Stone exhibition here at our studios. It runs through the end of February. The exhibition is courtesy of the Zimbabwe Gallery. Colin L. Thompson is the owner. The exhibition is open to the public weekdays between 10 and 5 p.m. Evening appointments are available For more information, call 443-885-3564 or go to weaa.org. And you all saw the stuff outside. It's really interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah, very.
This is modern Zimbabwean art. It's just really beautiful sculpture. So check it out, and we'll be right back and continue our conversation. And join us here, 410-319-8888. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and welcome back to one of our Urbanite Radio Conversations. We're talking about the article in this month's Urbanite called The Young and the Restless, Baltimore's New Guard of All-Star Chefs by Martha Thomas. Three of Baltimore's rising young chefs are with us, Jeffy Sandlin, sous chef at Pazzo's, former Top Chef contestant Damian Mosley, chef and owner of Black Sauce Kitchen, and Joe Edwardson, who is chef owner of Joe Squared. 410-319-8888. And I do apologize. Every time we do a food show, there's always like a vegetarian vegan cook with us, but none's around here, which is strange since both of my producers are vegans. So you're booking the show, not me. I mean,
and no apology necessary for that, really.
So, I want to talk about the Super Bowl is coming up Sunday, right?
Is there a Super Bowl this year?
I thought it just ended.
I thought it just ended.
I was pretty sure
yeah.
It just ended.
That game is. Let's not even go there.
What game?
That was bad.
The droids you're looking
that was
for.
Really. That was really depressing. That was depressing. I mean, I didn't stay depressed for long because I don't let those things get to me. But just watching them be, I couldn't believe he actually.
I'm not over it yet.
I'm far from over it.
You guys, gotta
I'll leave right now. I thought we were talking about food.
Oh, we are. Don't Super Bowls and food go together? Right?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, there is a Super Bowl. I'm sorry. It is happening. And it's in that other city that has the name of a team that I grew up with, Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah.
So, but if you were putting together a menu for the Super Bowl, and folks, we want yours at 410-319-8888. What are you cooking for Super Bowl? I think I know what I might be cooking. I'm not sure yet if I have time. What would your menu be? What are you going to cook for Super Bowl? You have to make the party happen. Who wants to go first?
It's a pretty easy one for me. Oh. I own a pizza and sub shop. Most likely.
Get creative. Come on.
Oh, it'll be pizza and wings and potatoes.
Well, you can't just say pizza. I mean, you got what kind of –
Oh, I go traditional on Super Bowl, pepperoni and mushrooms. I wouldn't go too crazy. All my skins would be bacon and cheddar. Go straight old hot wings.
That's it?
Well, I'm sure there'd be a lot of beer as well.
Yeah. I thought maybe it could come out with these really good kind of pizza recipes.
Not for the Super Bowl.
I'm not coming to your house then.
Well, there'll be a lot of it, a whole hell of a lot of it.
All right, Jesse, it's your turn.
I make some really fantastic jerk chicken, if I do say so myself. So I'd probably do some jerk chicken wings and, like traditional stuff, man. I'd make probably crab dip and like chili. I agree with the bacon and cheddar potato skin thing you got going on over there, Joe. I'd probably go to Joe's house and bring crab dip.
We'll have so much beer.
That's really what the Super Bowl's about. I feel like this year the Super Bowl is like the Super Bowl of annoying local dialects. And so you just need to... I'm just going to be drinking that day, I think.
That's it.
Praying somehow a miracle happens and they both lose.
I'm going to put on my Ray Lewis jersey.
Damian,
I'm
going to
eat some
Mosley?
Pepperoni pizza.
I think before I would decide exactly what I would make,
yeah,
I'd probably think about how I'd want people to eat it. And I think football is kind of barbaric. That's what I love about it. So, I mean, no forks. Right?
No forks.
Yeah, it's got to be finger food, right?
Mm-hmm.
So most of the food that Joe and Jesse have mentioned is just that. I'd probably... what would I do? Jerk is one of my favorites. So now I got to regroup a little bit here.
You can do jerk chicken too. I like jerk chicken.
Yeah, I think. Wow, I definitely feel like I'd probably do one of the things I love to do. That's eat with your hands kind of food is some sort of flatbread or roti or paratha, which at first maybe sounds like a little too highbrow for football, but I think it would be delicious, like with some kind of oxtail or
yeah, like something Trinidadian or West Indian.
Definitely,
yeah, right.
That's I could see myself doing that, and just as long as people are getting their fingers in there, then I'd be happy.
All right.
Tacos. You could do. Tacos. I did some braised oxtail tacos not too long ago.
That's what I'm talking
about.
That
were really, really good.
So, what spices would you all use in your oxtail?
I would probably braise them in mirepoix, red wine, maybe some beef stock, and then reduce the sauce down really low, and add maybe a little splash of something acidic. You know, squeeze a lemon juice or a splash of red wine vinegar or something, and then shred all of the meat and kind of fold it into the sauce, and then use that as like your taco meat and traditional garnishings, red onion and probably shredded cabbage or something like that.
How would you do yours?
Maybe some chili.
Oxtail, I would braise in coconut milk. Mm. I mean, as if it needed any more fat. but I'd probably braise it in coconut milk, and in terms of seasoning it, probably coriander and potentially some lemongrass and scallion. That's what I would do.
I'm actually thinking about you were saying that. One of the things about West Indian food is that it's got so many influences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's East Indian and it's African and it's British and French and it's just...
Definitely. I mean, even like talking about doing... oxtail beef with East Indian style flatbreads, that in itself is a contradiction in a lot of places.
Right. Not in Trinidad.
No, not there. Not there.
So, folks, what are you doing for Super Bowl? I know you live in Baltimore. Maybe you're living in Prince George's County and listening in Montgomery County. You really don't care because about what happened up here. What are you cooking for Super Bowl Day? 410-319-8888. I know Zach doesn't care because he's not a Ravens fan. it was his Washington team. 410-319-8888 is the number here. What are you cooking? What are you going to do for Super Bowl Sunday? And what are you going to cook? And what thoughts you have for our chefs? And what you think about cooking? And what are your favorite things to eat on days like this? And what are you cooking this weekend? 410-319-8888. What are we cooking this weekend?
Well,
what day is today?
I'll be cooking at Pazzo.
Tuesday. It's only Tuesday. When I think about the weekend, I keep thinking it's like Thursday or Friday. You'll be cooking at Pazzo's.
I'll be cooking at Pazzo, so I'll be cooking whatever you come in and order.
Gotcha.
I was getting a lot of the some of the earlier prep work done for a dinner I'm doing the day before Valentine's Day.
That's next week, isn't it?
It's coming up. Mm. 13 days or something? 14
days. I remember that day.
Yeah, some 30-course private dinner at the power plant location.
You're doing a 30-course?
Oh, wait, 30-person private dinner, 5-course.
That's a lot of courses. 30 courses.
Oh, my God, no.
Even in Belgium, with food, they do lots of courses. I've never had a 30-course meal.
But there's a bunch of stuff we have to get ready this weekend. Some molds we have to make.
30-course meal. You doing anything special?
I'm doing beef brisket this weekend. So
nice. At the farmer's market?
I'll be serving it there. I'll be cooking it overnight, probably behind my house.
Really?
Really.
Wow. You'll be cooking it outside?
Oh, yeah. That's the only way I know how to cook it, like over some wood.
Right.
Yeah, you got to have that smoke, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that definitely, I mean, so when you guys grill, there are all kinds of arguments about grilling. What you should be grilling over. You know, there's people who got to grill over gas, got to do coal, got to do wood. Does it make a difference? And what do you think about how you grilling?
I think it absolutely makes a difference. And I also think it depends on what you're grilling. But always charcoal, never gas, as far as a grill is concerned.
Always charcoal, never gas.
I'm concerned, yeah. I've never thought about a gas grill. But then I also like to use mesquite charcoal and hardwoods. And then if I'm smoking something, I'll soak wood chips and, you know, throw them on top of the coals so you get a nice smoke off of it. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of charcoal.
Charcoal, wood, gas?
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't do a tremendous amount of grilling, more smoking than anything else. But when I grill, it's charcoal, hardwood coal.
I love to grill, but...
Coal, I start with coal, and then I usually cook over maple wood or peach wood.
Or that's good.
Whatever I can get my hands on.
Yeah.
Orchards supply me with most of my wood.
Really? Local orchards?
Mm-hmm.
I get here. I'm going to go to Georgia get them. I think it'd be local, right?
Actually, orchards and a guy who basically makes, who has a wood turning studio. I get a bunch of wood from him as well.
Wow. Very cool. 410-319-8888. And Liz in Edgemere, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Liz. Welcome.
Thank you. So I heard you all talk about like a vegan vegetarian cuisine for Super Bowl.
Go ahead. So, what is it?
So the Land of Kush is giving a party Super Bowl Sunday.
So that's their place?
The Land of Kush.
I mean, they're saying they're going to have a Super Bowl party at the restaurant.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, because my husband and I are hoping to host it.
So who can come to this party?
Anybody.
All right.
What's on the menu?
5:30.
What's on the menu?
5:30 at the Land of Kush on Sunday.
But what's on the menu?
You have to buy a ticket.
Yeah, we can't tell prices on public radio. But what's on the menu?
All your football favorites.
All right. All my football favorites.
But they'll just be vegetarian style.
All right. I tell you, Land of Kush makes an incredible barbecued.
Yeah, their ribs.
Their ribs are amazing.
They're delicious. And the mac and cheese.
The mac and cheese is delicious.
I could go on.
Wait. Ribs of what?
Tofu.
And they are amazing.
Don't hate.
No, they're really good. I love them.
I was only quietly hating. I didn't say anything.
Joe, you have to go down to Land of Kush.
I do. Before I say anything,
I mean, I've taken some serious. We just lost a call from Atlanta. Come back. 410-319-8888. I want to hear what you're doing for Super Bowl Sunday. 410-319-8888. The Land of Kush has I've taken some serious meat eaters there to try their ribs, and they just love them. They're amazing.
I have a steak tattooed on my leg.
A steak?
Like, I'm a big fan of meat.
I got barbecue chicken on my shoulder.
You wouldn't buy a steak on your leg if you wanted to be a fan
of it. I'm willing to give it a chance and give them the benefit of the doubt. But vegetarian ribs?
Good,
I mean,
I'm telling you.
That's an oxymoron.
No. I'll have to sneak in a bag of bacon just in case.
No.
Sprinkle it on there. Ooh, that is good.
We should need a vegan chef in the room here right now. I mean, and Skye, when she did her stuff when she was in Baltimore before she moved to Puerto Rico, her stuff blew me away all the time.
Oh, she had a wonderful kale salad.
Yeah, no, kale salad.
No, but kale salad's not supposed to be meat.
No, but her ribs were great, and her chicken stuff was good, and you know, our tandoori chicken stuff was just like, it's good.
It was great for not having meat in it.
I'm in a room full of three chefs who are all confirmed omnivores. Huh?
Absolutely.
Oh, very much so.
I spent a little time not eating meat, and I wasn't complete in my profession, you know? Let alone being an incomplete person.
So, since we are vegan list and vegetarian list tonight on the program, what is your favorite meat to cook and how do you cook it? And I don't know why, folks, come on, 410-319-8888, bring your recipes to the airwaves. Want to know what you're doing for Super Bowl Sunday. So what's your favorite meat and how do you like to cook it?
Pork.
Pork. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're such smart things.
Cooked whole.
They are. Pigs. Pigs
oh,
are
they're brilliant.
Like
they're brilliant. That's why the meat's so good.
Third most intelligent animal or something. Yeah, I could be totally making that figure up, but they're up there.
They know how to take care of themselves.
They do.
They're way up there.
Do.
It's my wife doesn't eat much meat anymore, and she will not eat pork. But anyway.
Well, you don't have to eat their brain.
What do you like to make?
You know, anything really. I really love pork. I do a lot of pork belly, braising pork belly. I did some pork belly and biscuit sandwiches with tomato jam actually not too long ago, and took the pork belly and cured it for a few days in brown sugar and a bunch of other spices, and then braised it Coca-Cola. I braised it in Coca-Cola.
In Coca-Cola?
Yeah. Just to, like, the sweetness, you know? And then shredded it and made these little biscuit sandwiches out of it. It was delicious. Yeah. Took the skin and, braised the skin as well and sliced it and fried it. Put that on there like cracklings. It was so good.
Now, I know you like short ribs, but what else?
Historically, my favorite meat to cook is probably lamb.
Mine too.
Baltimore is really a beef town, in my experience. I mean, I cannot fire up a grill or a smoker without somebody coming up saying, "You got pit beef?" And so, inevitably, I cook a lot of beef, and I feel like I've had to become better at it.
Lamb is amazing. I have a buddy of mine who is he's a shepherd, and every fall he has this lamb party. I always go help him cook it. Every kind of cut you can imagine on this open wood grill. Lamb that's just come out of the field just tastes. The taste. Even people who don't eat lamb come and go, "Whoa, lamb! It is good.
Definitely,
it is good." I really should not have done the show, and I have not eaten today. It's not a good thing. So people are calling in when we get to the phones. But what about give us a meat thing?
I'd say pig cooked whole hog.
Yeah.
Throw in the smoker, broken down.
All right.
Well, yeah,
we,
no,
the whole pig. We used to do a big pit, and we'd have a lamb and a pig going at the same time.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
It was really good.
That's pretty awesome.
That's really good. And it's very simple. To me, you can do it like if you did a roasted lamb, you can do it very simple with just, it's just very simple with just nothing but olive oil, lemon, pepper. Few extra maybe herbs, you want to think Greek kind of herbs, and that's some really simple, and just let it go.
Oh, you can build the whole unit right there on the side.
Let's go to the phones at 410-319-8888. Kevin in Woodlawn, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm going to be cooking some Carolina barbecue.
All right. And how do you make it?
I make it with turkey and with pork. And I make some what they call country coleslaw. And some sauce. I don't know if y'all know anything about no sauce, but I make that too. We eat that with the crackers. So that's how we going. We going country this weekend.
Do you make your own sauce?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
What's the basis of your sauce?
Well, I don't know if y'all know what that sauce is. It's it's from the hog. It's like a hog head cheese type of. Thing. So
right.
Yeah, some of the callers might know what that is, but
yeah, I know what it is.
I'm firing it up just.
He's going serious country.
That's
just
right.
Sounds good.
Backwoods.
Sounds good.
Real good. Real good.
Man.
All right.
But before you hang up, just get your address and we'll be over there. So
I'm gonna be at that party.
You man is the bomb. I'm telling you that now.
You sound like a man who knows what he's talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin, thank you.
All right.
And I meant to ask him who he was rooting for, but you don't care, do you?
Oh, he probably wasn't rooting for anybody. I can't imagine.
Who are you rooting for?
I'm not rooting for anybody.
Nobody has a team in this Super Bowl?
I'm rooting against the Patriots.
Are you? You're rooting for the Giants?
I'm rooting against the Patriots.
I would say I probably hate the Patriots more.
You should be kind of teed off at... I'm the Ravens for blowing it.
I'm rooting for a hidden fault line beneath the stadium in India.
Let's go to 410-319-8888 in Bernard in Baltimore County. You're on the air.
Yes, I just want to get some information.
Sure.
The Land of Kush, where are they located? I just want that one.
Land of Kush is on Utah. Utah? Yeah, it's MLK. It's right across from the Maryland General Hospital. I forget
okay,
the.
What block is that? You know.
I'll have to look it up. I can look it up. My producers will tell me that. Before we get off the air, I'll know the exact address, but I don't have it at the top of my head. But it's just that would be what? That would be south of MLK, the next block south of MLK on Utah, on the right hand side.
Right across from Maryland General Hospital.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, I can find it. Now the other thing, the other chef, was it Tyrone Mosley?
Damian Mosley.
Huh?
Damian Mosley.
Oh, Damon. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Okay. Now, where is this restaurant located?
Well, I don't have a restaurant. Everything we do is pretty much curbside. So every Saturday, year-round, 80 degrees or 18 degrees, we are Waverly Farmers Market, which is 32nd Street between Barclay and Greenmount.
I was raised there. I live right across the street from the market.
Oh, yes, sir.
So will you be there this Saturday?
I will be there this Saturday.
And you're doing beef?
Beef brisket is one of the things we'll be doing.
Do I need to get there Saturday?
No, wait. Now, this is very important. The market is open from 7 to noon.
Right.
But if you come after like 10:30, you know, it's not my fault, and I don't want any trouble.
What time should I get there?
Definitely get there before 10.
9 o'clock, is that all right?
9 o'clock is a fantastic time.
So I should look for Damon Mosley, huh?
No.
Black
you
Sauce.
You should look for Black Sauce Kitchen.
Oh, Black Sauce Kitchen. Oh, okay. Let me write that down. Okay, Black Sauce.
Kitchen.
All right. Before you ask me, I'll tell you, I'm rooting for the Giants.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I think Baltimore is all rooting for the Giants.
Yeah, man. I'm so heartbroken in this game. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
See you Saturday.
Have a little short rib for breakfast. And you also make this iced tea.
Right? Yeah, we definitely try to make a beverage the time.
I think that's what I had last time. I was at the farmer's market, is your iced tea. And you're famous for your rum drinks.
Rum drinks, yeah, primarily. we have a series of different rum drinks on the menu. Caipirinhas, mojitos, different varieties.
All kinds of West Indian rum.
Oh, we have a lot of West Indian rum.
Haitian rum.
Yeah, well, Haitian, that's just Marvin Court. Nothing else is available. We have a lot of rum from Trinidad. That's very good sugar in that region.
I still have just a little teeny bit left of my last bottle of Cuban rum. Havana Club.
Oh.
So good. I've been nursing it. Don't drink it very much. I don't drink that much, but nursing it is so good.
Oh, Havana Club. I mean, the embargo ever ended. Bacardi would be out of
business. Well, if you go to Cuba, you're allowed to bring back two bottles.
You're allowed to now?
You've always been allowed to bring back two bottles.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we should go back to Cuba.
I'm ready. Anytime. I'm ready to go. Talk about eating. 410-319-8888. Chuck and Towson, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Chuck. Welcome.
So, just to be clear, I don't really care what happens with this game. on with regards to food, and my favorite for any event really is slow cooking some brisket. It's a tradition where I come from, and hard to find around here. So I just heard y'all talking, so I'll definitely be coming to Waverly Market to try out your brisket. As well.
All right,
great. And so where are you from, Chuck?
I'm from Texas.
All right.
Oh, they know brisket.
So.
They do know brisket.
Yes.
You ever done the stuffed hush puppy?
I've never done the stuffed hush puppy.
Oh, I've done those for a couple events where you make, you know, these big hush puppies and, you know, cut them in half, hollow out the middle, and then dice up some brisket and put it in there. Good appetizer. It works wonderfully.
So before I forget, I need to say that so we went over the land of Kush was. The exact address is 840 North Utah Street, 225-5874. Land of Kush, 840 North Utah. And it's worth these days. He's a great guy, too, and he's a good man. And you can see when you meet him, you'll know all vegans are not skinny. And you gotta hit Joe Squared.
I'm going.
Joe Squared. You gotta hit Joe Squared, though.
Oh, well, yeah, definitely. After Land of Kush.
And you gotta get over to Pazzo's and see what they're cooking up, and definitely hit the Waverly Market. Anywhere else in the Baltimore area that you're doing?
That we're doing?
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, starting April 1st, we'll probably be doing the JFX market as well.
Oh, on Sundays underneath.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Busy. That sounds like you have a lot of work moving from place to place.
It is a lot of work.
But it's a different style of work than inside a restaurant.
Yeah.
Different kind of intensity.
Yeah, I mean, it stays interesting. It's like running outside instead of running on a track.
All right, exactly. Well, this has been great. It's been really good to have everybody in this studio. This has been one of our Urbanite radio conversations from the article The Young and the Restless, Baltimore's New Guard of All-Star Chefs. This will be up on our website. It'll be up on the Urbanite website to download and podcast. And we've met Jesse Sandlin of Top Chef contestant fame, who is the sous chef at Pazzo's. Damian Mosey is chef owner of Black Skull's Kitchen, and he'll be at Waverly Market this Saturday, right? And Joe Edwardson, the chef owner of Joe Squared. Is that because the pizzas are squares? Because
that's
four
right.
Joes.
That no, no, there's no.
They're not four Joes. It's only one Joe.
No. There's just the one Joe. It's a square pizza. I mean, there are many Joes.
No, I'm just checking.
In the world.
But there is only one Joe.
just want to make sure I got this straight. You know, it's just one Joe. This has been great. So you made me very hungry. And I don't think I'm going to get a chance to eat till late tonight because I've got to go to the theater and I won't get a chance to eat before I leave here. And you all just made me really hungry. I mean, you could have brought some food or something.
Yeah. What was I thinking?
Well, this has been great. Thank you so much. This is Jesse Sandlin, Damon Mosey, Joe Edwardson. It's been great to have you on the air with us.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Folks, and this is one of our Urbanite Radio stories, and the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily contents on arts, culture, food design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Cricket Aronson and Justin Levy. Our assistant producer is Cassandra Monsanto. We're engineered by Zachary Coleman. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, find out information about our guests, like where their restaurants are and stuff, just go to our website, steinershow.org, and all the information is there. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. And wait, stay tuned. Deborah Owens is coming up with Wealthy Lifestyles right after this. Take care.